Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, prophet, R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in fellowship, partnership, and membership In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is worth.
glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will begin my message for this evening. And yes, praise be to God. After this selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We're gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know, God?
Deserve
of his grace. Jesus paid the price, covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul, restores my soul forever.
Jesus,
Jesus
is
the same in me. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick, you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel a mold of me.
And no matter,
no matter what the touch, his blood, his blood
always brings me.
Oh. Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus,
you gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My, 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 my Lord,
sustaining me. So at this time, I am going to do my message for the first hour of the program, and the second hour will be our sweet hour of prayer. Amen. My scripture reading for this message is coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 17 through 37. Amen. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 37. Praise be to God. And these verses is talking about Jesus comforts Mary and Martha. Amen? And it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and it says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after death. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were all at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. But some said, this man healed a blind man. Could not he have kept Lazarus from dying? May the Lord richly add a blessing to the hearing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God.
Is there any home where grief has never come or will never come? To live is to face the certainty that a time will come when death or some other form of grief will knock at the door where you live. For those who have never known grief, there is sometimes a fearful promotion, premonition that grief may come. And we wonder if we will be able to deal with it. Those who have gone through grief know the pain and would not desire it again. But they know they have found in the grace of God courage enough to walk through it. There is a certain strength in that knowledge that is one of the byproducts suffering brings to the believing heart. Mary and Martha, even though they knew Jesus, were not spared the grief that comes when a brother dies. Amen? None of us are spared the grief when a loved one dies. Today's text shows the kind of help you can expect when grief comes to your house. Let us pray. Lord God, we bring gifts of praise and love as well as offering of our material wealth to you today. You have blessed us richly with strength and skills, energy and expertise, an opportunity to work. There is nothing we bring that was not first given to us. You ask for our praise, but only after you have praised us. In your own image, you made us. And of the creation, you said, it is good. You asked for our love, but first you loved us and gave your son for our salvation. You asked for our tithes and offerings, but first you gave us the bounty of life out of which we give our gifts to you today. Thank you, Lord, for enriching our lives out of the abundant riches we joyfully give. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from John chapter 11, verse 21 from the RSV, and it says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And my title for this message this evening is, When Grief Comes to Your House. Amen. When grief comes to your house. Now, in John 11 and 19, notice that when grief comes to your house, so do your friends. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother's death. If you live within a community of faith for and love one another, when grief comes your way, so will the people who love you. Amen? Now, people unfamiliar with grief often think that grieving people must surely get weary of all those who come to them. They think that surely the grief-stricken ones would prefer for everybody to go away and leave them alone. But experience shows us that one of the grandest gifts God gives his people is other people. Amen? So at times of heartaches and sorrows, friends come bringing gifts of food and love and presents. A minister told me this story. When my brother's child died, I found how important it is that people come when grief comes. We arrived at my brother's house as quickly as we could. Our father is a preacher, and I'm a preacher. But my brother did not need us to be his pastors. He needed us to be father and brother. And he needed the friends who came. I will never forget how much it meant to the family when their own pastor came. The pastor was out of town, and he could not come until the day after the child's death. And until he arrived, there was grief work that could not be done. Pastors sometimes wonder if they are intruding on another's grief. We want to help, but we feel so inadequate. It meant a great deal to me as a young pastor to see that the minister's presence was indeed a word from God and a word from his church. But it was not only the pastor who made the difference. It was the people of the church as they gathered round and cared. Pain shared is pain divided, and it is true of grief. Grief that is shared is grief that is divided among those who share it, and one is able to carry it more easily. It is important when grief comes to your house that people come too. Amen. Praise be to God. When grief comes to your house, different people will handle their grief in different ways. Now in verse 20, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary remained seated in the house. Martha needed to talk to Jesus. Mary waited quietly. Notice another difference between them. Mary wept openly. In verse 33, yet there is no mention that Martha wept. Jesus wept, and the Jews wept, and Mary wept. But it is not recorded that Martha wept at all. Did that mean that she loved her brother less? Or did it mean stronger faith? I think not. One of the terrible myths that Christians often forced upon one another is that if you love somebody, you will weep at his or her loss. Or worse, if you are a strong Christian and have firm faith, you will not weep when death comes to your house. There is another myth that strong men don't cry. Jesus dispelled all three of those inadequate attempts at the truth. Jesus wept. No stronger or more courageous man was ever alive on our earth. And he wept. Men do cry. And that's all right. When grief comes to your house, some will cry. That is how they can express their grief. But people don't need to cry simply for fear people will think they did not love the lost one if they do not cry. Whatever you feel and however you seek to express it, what's honest with you is all right. Martha loved her brother. She did not weep. Mary loved her brother. She did weep. There is no one way to handle, there is no one way to handle grief. Generally, you will find that when you hear the word of impending grief, you will go through stages of grief. Amen? First, you will attempt to deny that it is so and perhaps seek isolation. You will want to be by yourself with your grief. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you don't stay alone. To deny impending darkness may be the necessary reaction to keep from being overwhelmed by it. It is reflected in the kind of statement, "Well, Doctor, I think I'll get another opinion." And you ought to. No doctor knows everything. Or you might say when you first hear of a death, "No, it can't be." The first stage in grief is often denial. And then often we get angry. We don't like it. We don't think it's fair. I haven't been as bad as so and so. And he is making $1 million a year and has been healthy all his life. Why me instead of him? Be careful about your anger. Amen. That you don't deny it and bottle it up. Some people are not growing Christians because they are angry at God and are afraid to admit it. If you are angry with God, tell him so. He is quite able to handle it. You are not going to shock him. He is not going to turn into a tantrum and wipe you out like a mosquito. Out of the anger will come questions. It's all right to ask God anything you want to ask him, as long as you don't insist that he answer you by your timetable. Amen. After our anger, we begin to bargain. God, if you will deliver me, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. If you will let me get well, I will teach a Sunday school class. I will go visiting every Tuesday night. I will give a tenth of my income. After the bargaining comes depression, feelings of dark helplessness roll over us. But we understand that God has called us to life and we must live. So we move into a final stage of grief. A simple acceptance of life as it is. We began to live with hope, not giving up, believing that God will bring us through it all. When grief comes to your house, most people will ask God, why? In verses 21 and 32, this is the question that is being asked. Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The implied thing is, why weren't you here? It's the same thing we say to God in our questioning. Lord, why did not you do something? Why weren't you here when I needed you? The truth is that there is no simple answer to suffering. We have struggled with it in Christian theology from the beginning of the faith. Some of the answers we have found are that God permits suffering for our good and his glory. That God teaches his children through suffering, and that God is able to transform life through his suffering on our behalf. God may not always answer our questions of why, but he will give you himself, his presence. We think we want to know why we suffer and why we grieve, but knowing why would not change the reality of the loss, nor would it restore the life. What we need more than answers to why is God's presence with us. That is why Jesus came to Mary and Martha in their need. And that is why God, the Holy Spirit, comes to us in our need. Listen for his presence. When grief comes to your house, you can remember the words of Jesus. Jesus quietly but firmly insists to Mary and Martha in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And if you believe that, when grief comes to your house, you will not only survive it, you will not only grow through it, but you will be able to look beyond the present pain and anticipate the victory Jesus has won for us over death and its sting. Praise be to God. Satan ruins many by putting them out of conceit with the word and ordinance. Men would not be laughed out of their necessary food, yet suffer themselves thus to be laughed out of war is far more necessary. If our zeal and earnestness in the cause of Christ, especially in the blessed work of bringing his sheep into his fold, bringing upon us evil names, let us not heed it, but remember how our master was thus reproached before us. All who have anything to say to Christ may find him in the temple. Christ would make us to believe we make ourselves doubt. The Jews understood his meaning, but could not form his word into a full charge against him. He described the gracious disposition and happy state of his sheep. They heard and believed his word. Follow him as his faithful disciples, and none of them should perish, for the Son and the Father were one. Thus he was able to defend his sheep against all their enemies, which proves that he claimed divine power and perfection equally with the Father. Praise God. Okay. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So here was a house where the fear of God was and on which his blessings rested. Yet it was made a house of mourning. Moaning. Grace will keep sorrow from the heart, but not from the house. When God, by his grace and providence, is coming toward us in ways of mercy and comfort, we should, like Martha, go forth by faith, hope, and prayer to meet him. When Martha went to meet Jesus, Mary sat still in the house. This temple formerly had been an advantage to her when it put her at Christ's feet to hear his word. But in the day of affliction, the same temper disposed her to melancholy. It is our wisdom to watch against temptation and to make us and to make use of the advantage of our natural tempers. When we know not what in particular to ask or expect, let us refer ourselves to God. Let him do as seemeth him good to enlarge Martha's expectations. Our Lord declared himself to be the resurrection and the life. In every sense, he is the resurrection, the source and the substance, the first fruit, the cause of it. The redeemed soul lives after death in happiness, and after the resurrection, both body and soul are kept from all evil forever. When we have read or heard the word of Christ about the great things of the other world, we should put it to ourselves. Do we believe this truth? The crosses and comforts of this present time would not make us deep impression upon us as they do if we believe the things of eternity as we ought. When Christ our Master comes, he calls for us. He comes in his word and ordinance and calls us to himself, those who in a day of peace set themselves at Christ's feet to be taught by him, may with in a day of trouble cast themselves at his feet to find favor with him. Praise be to God. And as I bring this message to a close, and my conclusion is, do not wait for a great grief to bring you to God's grace. Suffering does not automatically make people better. It often makes people bitter. But those who trust in Jesus are preparing in advance for life with all its strange twists and turns, its dark valley and painful separation. Those who in faith approach whatever grief life brings to them do so knowing that they can feel their pain, own their anger, await the answers, and affirm the victory the word of Jesus promises to those who believe. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it is unto me. When grief comes to your house, amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the family of God. And all you have to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Praise be to God. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says from the New King James Version, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And now at this time, I will play a selection as I close out this part of our program for this evening, and as we get ready to go into our sweet hour of prayer. Normally I would do the sweet hour of prayer the first hour of the program, but I decide this evening to switch it around and do the message first and then sweet hour of prayer. Amen. To God be the glory. Right now, we are going to give every praise to God.
Let me hear the worshiper! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
to our God. praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me as I bring forth your message this day. I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. And Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. And Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God.
If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. If you pour out your spirit, fill me up, God.
in my heart and permeate all my soul, all my soul is yours, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul is yours.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Make me a woman who is obedient to your word. Let me live according to your commandments. Direct my path far from the temptations and distractions of this world. And let me discover your will and follow it. Lord, this day and always, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we get along, and sometimes we don't. Treat everybody like you wanna be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burden. Can't stop your heart from hurting. You're searching deep within. Where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem,
the hem
of his garment.
All you need is a little faith to receive this saving grace.
Hold on,
hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Of his garment.
Don't
don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Heard a story about a woman who had an issue of blood. 12 long years she was flowing like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, somebody touch me. Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole. All you need is a little faith to receive and save and grace. Hold on,
hold on
to the hand of his garment. Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Oh yes. All you gotta do is hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. No, 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 no. You just reach out and hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Make a way for you. Hold on.
Hold on.
Hold on
to the hem of his garment.
Don't let Jesus go. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Hold on.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Strong and mighty he will show. All you gotta do is hold on to Jesus.
Hold on,
yeah,
to the hem of his garment.
Hold on to Jesus.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
He will make a way for you.
Hold on,
oh, yes,
to the hem of his garment.
And I know he will see it through.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
You see, he's a mighty good God. Oh, yes, he is.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Whoa.
Hold on to the hem of his garment.
Lord, have mercy.
Hold on.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, I Am Calling You. Praise be to God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, pray continuously. Amen. My second scripture reading is coming from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, and it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Praise God. My third scripture for this message is coming from Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, and it says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Again, the title of this devotional message is, I am calling you to a life of constant communion with me. Basic training includes learning to live above your circumstances, even while interacting on that cluttered plan of life. You yearn for a simplified lifestyle so that your communication with me can be uninterpreted. But I challenge you to relinquish the fantasy of an uncluttered world. Accept each day just as it comes, and find me in the midst of it all. Talk with me about every aspect of your day, including your feelings. Remember that your ultimate goal is not to control or fix everything around you. It is to keep communing with me. A successful day is one in which you have stayed in touch with me. Even if many things remain undone at the end of the day, do not let your to-do list, written or mental, become an idol directing your life. Instead, ask my Spirit to guide you moment by moment. He will keep you close to me. I pray that this devotional message, it was a blessing to you as it is to me. Praise be to God. Dear Lord, fill me with your Spirit and help me face my challenges with courage and determination. Keep me mindful, Father, that you are with me always and with you by my side. I have nothing to fear. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a message. So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
help cometh from the Lord. Lord, which made heaven and earth, he said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved, or that he would see. He will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. And know the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore, evermore. My my gentlemen, my sister, see.
Oh, the sun shall not smite thee by day.
Praise be to God. In 1 Timothy 4:6, in the CSB Bible says, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. The title of this message is Study His Word. Amen. God's Word is unlike any other book. The Bible is a roadmap for life here on earth and for life eternal. As Christians, we are called upon to study God's holy word, to trust its promises, to follow its commandments, and to share its good news with the world. As women who seek to follow in the footsteps of one from Galilee, we must study the Bible and meditate upon its meaning for our lives. Otherwise, we deprive ourselves of a priceless gift from our Creator. God's holy word is indeed a transforming, life-changing, one-of-a-kind treasure and a passing acquaintance with the good book is insufficient for Christians who seek to obey God's word and to understand his will. The Bible is God's word to man. Weave the unveiling fabric of God's word through your heart and mind. It will hold strong even if the rest of life unravels. I need the spiritual revival that comes from spending quiet time alone with Jesus in prayer and in thoughtful meditation on his word. God can see clearly no matter how dark or foggy the night is. Trust his word to guide you safely home. The Bible became a living book and a guide for our life. Think about this. On your bookshelf, you have God's roadmap for life here on earth and for eternal life. How you choose to use your Bible is, of course, up to you. And so are the consequences. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, in the CSB says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may become every good work. In Romans 1:16, in the CSB says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. Matthew 4:4, and the New King James Version says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. Matthew 24:35, and the CSB says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, the Bible is your gift to us. Let us use it. When we stray from your holy word, Lord, we suffer. But when we place your word at the very center of our life, we are blessed. Make us a faithful students of your word so that we might be a faithful servant in your world. This day, every day, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Praise his holy name.
Father, Lord, save my life.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.